ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू द संडे मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास। टुडे फॉर डिस्कशन वी हैव कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 33 फॉर डिस्कशन। सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूतान् अगृहस्थो ग्रतस्त्यजेत्। स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूतान् अगृहस्थो ग्रतस्त्यजेत्। स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूतान् अगृहस्थो ग्रतस्त्यजेत्। स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श श्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो भूतान् अगृहस्थो निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूतान् अगृहस्थ ग्रतस्त्यजेत्। स्त्रीणां निरीक्षण स्पर्श समलापक्ष्वेलनादिकम् प्राणिनो मिथुनी भूतान् अगृहस्थो ग्रतस्त्यजेत्।
We'll read word-to-word translation, translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Strinam, in relation to women, Nirikshana, glancing, Sparsha, touching, Samlapa, conversing, Kshvelana, joking or sporting, adikam, and so on, praninaha, living entities, mithuni bhutan, engaged in sex, agrihastha, asanyasi, or a vanaprastha, or a brahmachari, agrataha, first of all, Tyajet, should give up. Translation. Those who are not married, sannyasis, vanaprasthas and brahmacharis, should never associate with women by glancing, touching, conversing, joking or sporting. Neither should they ever associate with any living entity engaged in sexual activities. Purport. Praninaha indicates all living entities, whether birds, bees, or human beings. Among most species of life, sexual intercourse is preceded by diverse mating rituals. In human society, all types of entertainment, books, music, films, etc., and all places of amusement, restaurants, shopping centers, resorts, are designed to stimulate the sexual urge and create an aura of romance. One who is not married, that is a sannyasi, brahmachari or vanaprastha, should rigidly avoid anything related to sex and of course should never see any living entity, whether bird, insect or human, engaging in the various phases of sexual intercourse. When a man jokes with a woman, an intimate, sexually charged atmosphere is immediately created, and this should also be avoided for those aspiring to practice celibacy. Even a householder who becomes attached to such activities will also fall down into the darkness of ignorance.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्ण. आई वॉज रीडिंग वन श्लोक रिसेंटली विच सेज वासुदेव कथा प्रश्न पुरुषांस त्रिन पुनाति ही वक्तारं पृच्छकं श्रोत्रुंस तत्पाद सलिलं यथा. सो हियर इट इज मेंशन जस्ट लाइक द वॉटर दैट हैज टच्ड द लोटस फीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड प्यूरिफाइज द थ्री लेवल्स ऑफ प्लैनेट्स इन द यूनिवर्स. तत्पाद सलिलं यथा. थ्री काइंड्स ऑफ पीपल आर प्यूरिफाइड बाय वासुदेव कथा एंड प्रश्न. So the first person that is mentioned, which we would presume would be probably the person who is hearing the katha. Somebody is speaking and somebody is hearing. But this shloka mentions the three people who are purified. First is vaktaram, the person who speaks. Second is pruchakam, the person who asks that question, because he is seeking a solution. He is seeking a remedy. So then he is listening attentively. And the third is Shrutrums. This conversation is being heard by so many others. So when we have a shloka like this, which talks about extreme purity, then you wonder why this person has been chosen to speak on this shloka. Lack of qualification is the first qualification. Who's the most absorbed person in today's class or in any katha? There's some katha going on, there are 200 people sitting, one person is speaking. Who's the most absorbed person in that katha? The speaker. He can't afford to miss a single word. Yes, some of you can probably take out your phone, doze off a little bit and do whatever you want to do. So for preparing on this shloka, which talks about purity, it makes sense that they chose me to speak something on this. You know, I have to be absorbed, I have to prepare, I have to study, I have to understand what's going on and how to present it. And also probably today is a very holy day that many of the fresh initiates have come here for a yajna, and all of you are shining. Just now you have put all your past habits into the fire yajna, fire kund. Lord Vishnu and the spiritual master have purified you, accepted you. So with all of your blessings and with all the blessings of the organizers who specifically gave me this shloka, I would dare to speak a little bit on this shloka. Before I came to the temple, before I joined full time, we had a group of three friends, myself and two others. And one of them, he belonged to another spiritual organization. And the two others, the rest of us, we were never inclined. So many times we would have a discussion. Is it really necessary in this age? And obviously, me and my friend, we would always opine, it's not necessary. And one of the arguments that we would give is, see, you have so much restrictions to eat, visit places. You can't go to certain places to eat. You can't go to certain places to visit. And me and my friend would tell them, see, we are free. We can eat what we want, when we want. We can visit any place we want. So freedom is so important. And at that time, probably he was not well versed in those books. Probably he didn't have an exposure to the philosophy. But he would always keep quiet. He did not have an answer to this. And later when I came to Krishna consciousness, then I learned there are so many rules within Krishna consciousness also. And today specifically we are talking about celibacy. In today's time and age, to talk about celibacy is actually out of the world. It does not make any sense. There's so much free mixing. One of the medical colleges in Bombay, where we have our programs, the girls and the boys, they stay in the same hostel on different floors. So now what would you expect? There's so much mixing that's happening whenever you enter the hostel, whenever you leave the hostel. And with these kind of impressions, in the early part of your life especially, when you're more impressionable, one can only understand what kind of many difficulties await people in the long run. So later when I came to Krishna consciousness, one time I was remembering this conversation that I was having with my spiritually minded friend. And then I thought, if I was on the other side, and if somebody would have told me, see, you are following so many rules, don't do this, don't do this, and we are free, then I would have told, reply, that yes, you are free to visit where you want to go, you are free to eat what you want to, but you are also free to get all the diseases that are coming. Yes? So there is no choice about that. So all this reckless lifestyle that is being advertised by the modern civilization also has a price for it. When you go to a mall, there are these products advertised there. Buy one, get one free. And you feel, this is what I was missing in India for such a long time. This Western mall culture, just see how it benefits everyone. It benefits the person who's opened the mall. It benefits the people in terms of giving him a big variety of choice. But think about it, many people who visit such malls have told me, they go into a mall to purchase one product and come out buying 10 others which they didn't want to. But it's just that it's so tempting. It says this and this are together. And then you wonder, but do I really need it? I said, maybe tomorrow I'll need it. And today it's available at a steal. It's available at a very less price. Let me go for it. And then you end up buying something. So there's a humorous story about one person who went to a Walmart. He went to purchase an anacin. something for his headache. And on his way there, he came across another shop, which was advertising a little more than an NSN, some kind of an immunity booster. So it made sense. My immunity is low, that's why I keep suffering from backache, neckache, and this ache and that ache. Let me go for an immunity booster. So he turned in that direction. On his way there, he came across another shop, which says some fitness equipment. So it makes sense. Not necessary just to boost your immunity. So he purchased that. And slowly, when he came out, he had a yacht. He had a boat when he came out. And then he wondered, it all started with a small pill. Yes? So the price in these malls is not just a few rupees. The price in this mall is your free will. You go in to purchase what you want to purchase, and you end up purchasing what they want you to purchase. But we don't seem to understand it, and that's why we fall for it. You go to a small shop, a grocery shop, you go there and you pick up what you want, and he weighs how much you want it. But in these malls, there are these ready-made packets. So you want only half a kg of dal, but that half kg packet is not available. The minimum packet is 1 kg. So you end up purchasing something extra than what you wanted. So many times we feel this modern world has given us a lot of freedom. The modern world has given us a lot of facilities. And in that trend, we also want a lot of facilities. We also want a lot of independence for our own habits, for our own thoughts. Don't tell me what to read. Don't tell me what to watch. Recently, you know, for Janmashtami, this year, Janmashtami was on August 15th. So we were speaking at one program and we said how there is one word called freedom and there is one word called independence. So freedom is free from certain rules and regulations. And what is independence? Independence is the opposite of dependence. It means we can be free, but we can be dependent. Am I talking about our nation today? We are free. Politically, we are free. Nobody tells us what to do and what not to do. But are we independent in terms of our thought process, in terms of what we should be doing? The policies, the technology, the way in which our economic policies should be framed is all being governed by somebody else. So there's a lot of pressure which is unspoken and unseen by many of us. But once you're part of IMF, International Monetary Fund, you cannot make certain policies. Once you're part of the UN, you cannot make certain policies. So that's why many times we kind of interchange these words, freedom and independence. What we are actually looking for is independence. And what we end up getting is freedom. Whereas the Vedic scriptures, they usually do not talk about freedom, but they very much talk about internal independence. We could have been ruled by a foreign ruler, but internally our customs were always preserved. Before the Britishers came, all of us, if we were living at that time and we were wanting to follow Vedic culture, there was no impediment to following Vedic culture in larger sense. Nobody could enter your home and stop you from worshipping Shaligram Shila. Prabhupada would regularly speak this. Every home had a Shaligram Shila. Every home had Vishnu worship. Yes, the bigger temples were destroyed, that too in North India. In South India, if you go, all the big temples, all the big structures are still there. But in North India, at some very important places, the big structures were raised. But if you see, even today in North India, although the big structures are raised, internally, the North Indians are more devotional. The devotion in their hearts could not be raised. So, yes, politically we were ruled by somebody else of another culture and another thought process. But internally people had the independence to practice their values. Today, politically we are free. But the movies have to be of a certain type. They have to have one song which is very sensuous. Otherwise it won't work. And now we have political freedom, but we have cultural dependence. So that's why we have to understand this. It's not that we are free. It's not that we are independent. We are very much dependent. Everything is being governed by somebody else. And Vedic culture focuses on this thing. All of us know about the Statue of Liberty on the east coast of America. And all of us want liberty. All of us, don't tell me what is right. Don't tell me what is wrong. I am free to do what I want to do. There's this one psychologist called Viktor Frankl. So at one point of time when he was studying human psyche, he suggested, just like you have a Statue of Liberty on the East Coast, he proposed a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast. He says, because all of us, we always talk about our rights, but we never talk about our duties, we never talk about our responsibilities. And this is this eternal tension between what I want and what I deserve. All of us want a lot of things, but we never ask, do I actually deserve this, given my mood, given what I am contributing, given what I am trying to do. So, this is, you're driving fast speed on the road, and you're expressing your freedom. My car, my driving license, I have paid taxes, the road is mine. Nothing illegal about it. But as soon as you cross the limit, your license is taken and you can no longer drive, at least for the next 6 months. So when you exploit your freedom, when you exploit your liberty, even that basic liberty or basic freedom is taken away. On the other hand, if you agree to follow by certain rules, that's how the world works. If you agree to stay within limits, your license stays with you till you leave this body. So how much liberty is good enough? How much freedom is worthy of using? If you cross a limit, it gets impounded. If you use it properly, you get more and more freedom, you get more and more liberty. So especially when we talk about brahmacharya, and when people talk about, here it was mentioned, you know, not even other animals or insects, birds, stay away from them when they are engaged in this activity. The first thought that comes in, this is very restrictive. Vedic culture is very restrictive. It's so pressurizing. Don't do this, don't do this. But then if we take it in the proper spirit, then we'll understand all these rules and regulations are to keep us safe within a fence. And in that fence, then we can prosper. Then we can go ahead. On the road dividers, many times you see those plants. And many times those plants have this fence. Why? Because goats, cows, anybody can come and eat them. So if there is no fence, the plant does not even survive. But if there is a fence, then the plant grows and it flourishes. The traditional system of being trained under a guru, the Varnashram system, because this Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyas ashram, it no longer exists. What is the concept of Brahmachari ashram? Grihastha is basically unregulated householder life. Vanaprastha, even in ISKCON, is almost absent. And sannyasis are there who are trying their best to inspire and help the society at large. So, why is there so much segregation? Till this age, till this vidhi, you should be in Brahmachari ashram. And then there are rules of Brahmachari ashram. So, even in the Bhagavad Puran, which focuses on the highest, prema, the 7th canto, 11th chapter and the 12th chapter, they focus on duties of the social classes and duties of the spiritual classes. How should a Brahman behave? Oh, we thought that the duties of a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra should be in Mahabharata. That focuses on the real world. But Bhagavat was supposed to be about prema. Bhagavat was supposed to be about the other world. Leave this world and go back in the loving service of Krishna. But even in this Amalam Puranam, there is one whole chapter on the duties of a Brahman, duties of a Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and another chapter on duties of a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. Why? Because unless you are situated properly, how can you do that? 2.66 Gita. It mentions, Nacha buddhir ayuktasya, nacha ayuktasya bhavana, nacha abhavayataha shantir, ashantasya kutaha sukham. So if you are not peaceful inside your heart, how can you go ahead in life? This is Gita's instruction right in the second chapter. Recently, our Prime Minister Modi, he was in Vrindavan. There was a ceremony organized by Akshay Patra Foundation, who have been serving many meals to impoverished children all over India. And he was there, but he reached a little late. So there were some kids to whom he was supposed to serve the meals, afternoon meals, and he reached late. So he went to one girl and told her, humko maaf kar do, hum ded baje pahunche, humko to 12 baje pahunchana chahiye tha, aapko bhooka rakha humne. So the girl is from Vrindavan. She said, don't worry, hum subah acche se nashta karke aaye the. So all these troubles, they don't affect. We know what is what. So ashanta, if you're feeling hunger, you can't even respect your PM properly.
But if you are peaceful, ho gaya, subhi ho gaya sab. Then all those late and all that, it does not disturb you. Similarly, Varnashram is saying, when the Guru trains you in celibacy, where here it was mentioned, the first principle of Brahmacharya Ashram is celibacy. So why so much emphasis on celibacy? See, the Varnashram system works on this principle of authority. The Guru first teaches that new disciple, that new Shishya, try to understand, you have not seen the world. You do not know what is right. You do not know what is wrong. Sometimes you could put your hand into fire, getting attracted to the flames, and then get yourself burnt. So just submit to this person on whom your parents have put trust. The traditional Gurukul is outside the city. The parents send their child there. And this external submission to this authority, slowly as this person passes out, usually the age by which he enters the Gurukul is 5, and the age by which he comes out of the Gurukul, graduates out of the Gurukul, is 25. So 20 long years in the Brahmacharya Ashram, based on submission to the Guru. So 7.12.1 is the first description by Narad Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj about the duties of a Brahmachari. So he says, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Guror Hitam Acharan Nichavat Daso. He is giving different qualifications. He is saying, first thing is, you stay at the home of the Guru. Don't stay at your home, because at home we are pampered. All of us are aware of that. The first symptom of education is, you go to the proper place where there is discipline. Prabhupada would say, disciple means discipline. Shiksha and shikshan is connected. So then he says, you stay there, and dantaha. Dantaha means you should be controlled. Your senses should be controlled, including the king of senses, the mind. And then it is mentioned, guror hitam. Guru ke hit ke liye rehna hai wahan pe. Apne hit ke liye nahi rehna hai. To guru ka hit aur aapka hit alag hai kya? No, if you think that I am working for Guru or Hit, what is Guru thinking? Guru has been given that responsibility of training you. Obviously, he is your Shubha Chintak, he is your Hita Chintak. So the disciple is staying for the hit of the Guru, he is working for the hit of the Guru, and the Guru is endeavoring every moment, including, you know, living a life that he is speaking himself for the hit of the disciple. So, based on this proximity to the Guru and seeing a living example of what is being taught, it's very easy to have submission. And when he submits, by the time he moves out of the ashram, the Guru very expertly transfers that spirit of submission from an external authority to his own Viveka Buddhi. Viveka Buddhi means your own matured intelligence. So a child at 5, he does not have a mature intelligence. He has an intelligence, but it is materially contaminated. And by long years of training, 20 years of shastric training, 20 years of behavioral training, 20 years of understanding in concept what is right and what is wrong, he develops his intelligence, which is immature, to a mature stage. Out of the 24 gurus that are mentioned in the 11th canto, there is a bee, there is water, and the last, he says, is Viveka Buddhi. He's saying, your own purified intelligence is your guru. For most of us, when we come to Krishna consciousness or even to any concept of spiritual life, we don't have that Viveka Buddhi. It is a Viveka Buddhi. So sometimes, you know, this question is raised, why is there so much insistence on submitting to the orders of your spiritual master? Why should you submit? Well, the scriptures have said, Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Swatantrata Ratna. The most important jewel that Krishna has given to the spirit soul is Swatantrata Ratna. We all have independence, we all have free will. But willingly, we submit that free will at the lotus feet of a self-realized spiritual master, somebody who is equipped with the values and also the behavior, and he also has the knowledge. So what happens is, we learn the art of suppressing our materially contaminated intelligence. Right now, for an unregulated person like me, what is more stronger, my mind or my intelligence? My mind. But what is supposed to be more powerful? My intelligence. So actually my intelligence is supposed to be more powerful than my mind. But right now my mind is more powerful than my intelligence. But my mind, because it won't listen to my intelligence, will it listen to somebody else's intelligence who is more powerful than my mind? So that's why it is mentioned, aapka man aapki buddhi ke kabhi nahi sunega, lekin aapka man aapki guru ki buddhi ko to sunega na. So many times you ask a question to your spiritual master or to your guide, and he gives such a revealing answer, and you wonder, I never thought of it like this. I never understood it like this. Where is it mentioned? And he says, it's there in the Gita. It's there in the Bhagavatam. And he says, I also read the Bhagavatam, but I never saw it from this perspective. Is it not? So many times when exalted souls speak, it's not that they keep speaking about something new. The newness is their understanding of the same spiritual truth. Recently in one Brahmachari class, His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj was here. And he gave a very nice understanding. He said, in India, he said, there are a few Diksha Gurus, there are a few spiritual masters who are very prominent, but he says in the West, in Europe especially where I preach, there are many spiritual masters. And he says sometimes, you know, many of them visit, and many newcomers, because they don't have an exposure to Vedic culture, they sometimes get confused about who is my spiritual master. So he said, one time one person asked me, I like this person for his kirtans, I like this particular sannyasi, a guru, for his katha, I like him for his personal example, and I like different spiritual masters for their different flavors. He said, which of them is my guru? Which of them is my spiritual master? So Indradyumna Maharaj gave a very nice answer. He said, see, all of them will speak from Prabhupada's books. All of them will speak the same Krishna consciousness philosophy. But he said, when a person speaks to you something that you already know, but when he speaks to you, you are convinced about the need to change, the need to transform. He is your guru. So he does not speak something new in terms of information, but the conviction with which he speaks. And you can see that he himself is doing it, what he is speaking. That actually motivates you to change. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarvasi. In that lava, what is he going to speak? In that lava, what happens is, actually he presents an example to emulate for all of us. So, when the disciple enters, he has a mind which is stronger than his intelligence. But that time what is mentioned to him is, you don't submit to your intelligence is weak. Your mind, you submit to the higher intelligence of the guru. That's easy to do because the guru is more intelligent, the guru is more smart, the guru has more understanding. It's easier for him to submit to the spiritual master intelligence. And then the guru trains him with his intelligence to make the shishya's intelligence more and more stronger. At one point of time when he has faith, his intelligence right now is more capable than it was, and now it has that ability to control his unregulated mind. Mind is going to be unregulated for a long, long time. That is the time you graduate. That is the time you move out. So it's not a system of permanent captivity. It's not that whole life, because you had a guru and then whole life you are some kind of captive in that guru. The captivity is not external. The captivity is in terms of your gratitude. Where was I when I entered the Gurukul? And where am I when I passed out of the Gurukul? That gratitude is your captivity. You remember, Chakshudan Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. But that is from the disciple's side. Jinhone meri aankhe kholi hai, how can I forget him? Dhruva Maharaj is saying that. Prahlad Maharaj says that. But it's not the guru who keeps on insisting every year, whenever you get some good results of your training, please remember to send me a dakshina. No, when the person passes out, that is the time he gives Guru Dakshina. And then the disciple passes out. So from the Guru's side, that limited captivity for 20 years, that training for 20 years, was not to eternally keep him indebted. Actually, that was to set him from freedom to independence. He's setting me independent of all the captivity of his own mind. It is the disciple who's saying, no, I need this training. I need more of it. So this is the essence of the Varnashram system, which focuses on training. And which actually the training is to set you free, is to set you independent. So, in one of the books by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, which he has written a summary study of the 11th canto, the book is called The Backward Glance. He mentions 6 subtle points of the benefits of the Varnashram system, which we'll discuss. The first thing he mentions is, the Varnashram system is so organic. Just like the body has 4 parts, the head has its own function. The arms have its own function. The belly has its own function. The feet have its own function. So he's saying, it's very natural that in the society, some people will be intelligent oriented. Some people will be more oriented for sports, fighting and so on. Some people will be more oriented for earning money, taking care of animals, dependents. And some will be service oriented. So that is the first point. The second thing he says is, always remember this Varnashram system of training in different parts is meant to give protection and shelter so that you can function in what you want to do properly. We go to a school, we are advised to have a uniform. Why uniform? Because when you go there and you look at yourself, when I'm playing in the evening, I have different clothes. But today I have a white shirt and a clean kind of an appearance. It seems I am supposed to have a different role here. So it's very important. The third thing he says is, this Varnashram system is based on guna and karma. It is never based on birth. So that frees the Varnashram system from its allegation that actually it is imposed injustice. Because by birth, if somebody is forced to do something, that is imposed injustice. Then he says, fourth is, in today's present times, this Varnashram system as it was being practiced in Vedic culture is almost impossible, but we can take the essence and try to apply it in our own lives. So when you are, somebody who is running a business, he hires 10 people in the beginning of the business, and in the initial part, there is no need for a hierarchical structure in any small business. It's an SME. So there is no manager, there is no semi-manager, there is no divisional head, there is no national head, it's a small business. So it starts with 5 or 6 people and he's everything, he's CEO, he's manager, he's the HR manager and so on. As time goes by, as his company expands, he understands he's more suited for HR related job. He's more suited for food related job. He knows more about nutrition. He is more good for organizing things. So as the company expands, will he not choose different people for different jobs? So he's saying that's how it is. And then he says, the fifth important point is, all this whole segregation and division and this and that is not to do injustice against people. It is meant for spiritual development. So if this is understood always, this whole thing is so that we can all serve Krishna and help others serve Krishna. Then all that misconceptions are gone. And then he talks, the four ashrams have their four specific qualities that are expected from them. So he says Brahmachari, especially because we are talking about the Brahmachari ashram. I'm trying to stay loyal to the shloka today. The Brahmachari, he says, three qualities he needs. Celibacy, focus on study, swadhyaya, and then he says the third is service to Guru. So many times, we have our own understanding of a student life. The student life is basically this. Celibacy, so that you are controlled over your senses, then study, and then there is service to Guru. If any one of them is missing, does not work out. In 4.34 also, when Krishna is talking about the relationship between a disciple and a guru, he says three things. Surrender, we could say control of senses. And there is a pariprashnena, which is study. And then there is saying sevaya, that is service to the spiritual master. So this is what makes a good brahmachari, a good student. So what is the importance of brahmachari? Why is there a need of brahmachari? If somebody is suffering from hypertension, he's advised pills, but he's also advised stay away from salt. Don't take more salt. We have one brahmachari, one time we were having something and there was some sauce also prepared and he didn't take sauce. I offered him some pickle. He said, no pickle. I said, you don't like all this? He said, no. This invisible concentrated salt in sauce and concentrated salt in pickle. That's what is troubling me, not the raw mango that is there. So salt, as soon as he sees salt, he can't take it. Somebody who is suffering from diabetes, stay away from sweet. He has his own pills. Some people take that insulin injection, but stay away from sweets. So similarly, what is mentioned is, in the human form of life, how many lifetimes have we passed through before we came to this human form of life? So it's 80 lakh. Yes, so 4 lakh, the last 4 lakh are the human species. It means, if somebody says, Prabhuji, usko to pata hi nahi kya hai. Diabetes, how does diabetes happen? Diabetes happens when there is an overexposure to sweets. It's sweet, 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 sweet. So much sweets. Now, it said no more sweets. So when somebody is told celibacy, he can say, oh, toh bachcha hai abhi. So diabetes, don't take sweets. Stay away from sugar is because of too much sweets. Hypertension is because you had too much salt. And now somebody who has never experienced that activity, why is he being advised for celibacy? You understand this question? So the point is, you have not experienced it in this lifetime. But before you came to the human form of life, at least the civilized human form of life, 80 lakh species before, in all the aquatic species, we have experienced that activity. In all the bird species, the animal species, we all have experienced that activity, those impressions are there. And that's why in the human form of life, even though this logic can be presented, we have not yet experienced. So where is the danger? बहुत मिठाई खाई है तो उसको बोलते दूर रहो तो उसको बोलते दूर रहो क्योंकि आपको याद आ जाएगी वो मिठाई की. But our impressions may not be from this lifetime. Vedic culture is telling you, in all the previous lifetimes we have enjoyed that activity. Please do not do anything in that direction that those sparks may be reignited. There is this story about one sage called Rishyashringa in Ramayana. So the situation that is mentioned is Dashrath Maharaj wants to do a Putra Kameshti Yajna. He wants sons. And then he is asking his minister Sumantra, who is the best person, the priest, to do this yajna for me? He says, I'll tell you one story that was told by Sanat Kumar to all the rishis. And then he says, there is one sage called Vibhandak. And this Vibhandak has a son called Rishyashringa. And he's saying, Vibhandak has so much love for his son that he has kept him isolated from all human society in a forest. And he's very pure. Controlled senses. All the qualifications of a brahmachari has already done. So if this Rishyashringa can come to your kingdom, then things will be alright and he can do the Putra Kameshti Yajna for you. So tell me more about this Rishyashringa. And you also told me that he stays inside the forest, so why would he come here to do Putra Kameshti Yajna? So he says, no, one time something happened. What happened? So he's saying there was one king called Romapada Maharaj. And this Romapada Maharaj, because of some sinful activities, he earned a lot of impious credits. And because of that one person's impious credits, his whole kingdom is suffering from a drought. So then he also asks what to do. The Brahmanas tell him, well, you know, the Rishyashringa, the most pure person, if he comes to your kingdom, it is mentioned Anga Pradesh, the kingdom of Anga. If he comes, then rainfall will come. So he says, okay, go and get him. He says, actually, if we go there and try to get this Rishyashringa, probably we'll get cursed by his father. His father loves him very much and he's kept him pure. Then what to do? I want rainfall in my kingdom. He says, let's do one thing. It's not considered wrong. So what they do is, they hire some women of low character. And they tell them, you go and get this Rishyashringa here. So how do they do that? One time one devotee was narrating to me this. He said, I did not find this in Valmiki Ramayana, but this devotee said that they dress themselves as boys. But the Valmiki Ramayana does not mention this. But what is mentioned is they dress themselves very attractively. And they went to one place in the forest which was close to where Rishyashringa has stayed his whole life. So the way Vibhandak fenced him is that he never allowed him to see any other man other than his father. He has never seen his mother. So he does not know what a woman looks like. He has never seen any animal also. And he's a young boy. So these women, they go some distance away from his ashram and they just start singing. And just hearing that voice, he says, what is this sweet voice? So it is said, you know, the male voice, if somebody is a good singer, it's very attractive to females. And if somebody has a sweet voice in the females, then that's also very attractive to the males. In one place in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, to hear the voice of a woman. Lord Chaitanya one time, as he is going to the Jagannath temple, one of the servants of Lord Jagannath was singing one song glorifying Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy, he remembered, oh, this is a song glorifying Lord Jagannath. He just started running in that direction. And as he's running in that direction, Govinda stops him. Govinda tells him, my Lord, what are you doing? This is a woman's voice. Even though you are attracted to the content of that, what will people say? And then he stops and he says, you saved me. It's not good for somebody in the renounced order to hear a woman's voice and get attracted to it. Even to draw a painting of a woman is not supposed to be good for some person in the renounced order. So this is Rishyashringa. He has never heard the voice of a woman. And he hears that voice and is attracted. And he goes there. He has never seen it. He does not know anything about it. But he just feels there is something that is happening to me right now when I am hearing this voice. And then they have some conversation. And Rishyashringa is so much overwhelmed by their affection. You know, it is mentioned the two genders, both of them have a lot of natural affinity for each other. Even if you don't know what is going on. But somehow, that's how we are made. We are wired. So Rishyashringa does not know it's a woman, but he says, their voice is sweet. And I don't know why, but I'm getting kind of attracted to them. So he says, you are very good friends. Why don't you come to my ashram which is nearby and I want to serve you. So he takes these women to his ashram and gives them some fruits and some roots. That's what he has. He Pada Prakshalam, he offers them Padya, Arghya. So in a very Vedic way, he honors them. And then they also accept that honor. And then they say, they're constantly thinking, if the father of this person comes and he sees that we contacted his pure son, we may get cursed. So they are always in hurry. So they say, okay, we have some vrata to perform. We have some tapasya to perform. We are also like you only. So we just want to offer you something in return for the hospitality that you gave to us. We have some sweets for you. Would you like to accept these sweets? And these sweets are not the fruits and the roots in the jungle. They are city sweets. And as Rishi Singh has never tasted city sweets. Have you tasted some, you know, very thickly made sugar sweets? Actually, they are very rajasic in nature. If you put too much sugar in any sweet, it becomes very rajasic. And if you put little sweet, it's sattvic sweet. It's pleasurable. So these are city sweets, very rajasic. And this Rishi Singh, he takes them and he still does not know he's being framed. And they go away. And in the evening, he becomes restless. I don't know why, but I'm remembering these friends too often. And next day, the same spot where these girls had met Rishi Singh, this time he does not come there by chance. This time he's being pulled by those memories from the previous day. And they say, oh, yesterday you took us to your ashram. Today can we take you to our ashram? And he says, yes, why not? I would like to come to your ashram. And they take him to Anga Pradesh. And as soon as our Rishi Singh steps on that land, immediately starts raining. And in this way, Rishi Singh solves the problem of the king. But what happened to him is, he got attracted to females. He could not control himself. And then later he's married to the daughter of that king, Shanta. And then this Rishi Singh is brought as the priest for Dashrath Maharaj's Putra Kameshti Yagya. So this story is told that he has never seen a woman. So how did he get attracted? The impressions are there from the previous life. It's just reignited. So all the posters and all the magazines and all the articles and all the novels and all the films and all the television serials, what is the purpose of all of them? Is to reignite the dormant desires in everyone's heart. One time, one of our friends in the Brahmacharya Ashram, he went to one program. In that program, somehow some television stars had come, females, and they were interested in the katha. So after the class, they actually came, you know, quite close. In their culture, it's very easy to come close. And they came and they were asking very genuine questions. So one of my friends who had come, gone to that program, he told me, one of the brahmacharis who was there for the program, and this female, they actually came unnecessarily close, saying, because our brahmachari is a pure brahmachari, he had never ever come to somebody in a long, long time so close. Actually, one of my friends, he started shaking in fear. So it's just natural, you know, he's shaking there because they just come too close. So then I understood this, that although he has given up all those activities, but those impressions are there. And especially in ISKCON, we have to be more careful. Why? Because before we came to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, some of us might have been exposed to so many things which we never knew were harmful for us at that time. So all those impressions are there. We need to be doubly careful about our exposure to all these things. When we drink water, if we are not satisfied, we drink another glass. And then somebody, you give the second glass and he says, can I have more water? So what it indicates is, he's dissatisfied. So repetition indicates dissatisfaction. So simple thing we have to understand, you know, certain things that are being advertised in the outside world today, people are doing so much of it and still they're not satisfied. It means that activity per se, the thoughts per se, have no satisfaction. And that's why people want more, more, more and more. So there's no satisfaction there. So why do we go in that direction? We should control ourselves under the direction of the Guru and go for purity. Sridhar Swami Maharaj, one of the original commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions 8 type of subtle fall down. So one gross fall down is you engage in the activity. But for brahmacharis, he mentions 8 types of subtle fall down. In Bhagavatam 6.1.12 purport. So he's talking smaranam. So somebody is sitting quietly in one place, but his thoughts are remembering something. Says that's a fall down. Second thing he says is kirtanam. Kirtanam means two brahmacharis. Brahmachari does not mean somebody in saffron cloth and shaven head. Brahmacharis means somebody who's in student life. Somebody who's still not married in the life previous to his grihastha ashram. So he's saying kirtanam means two friends are talking about some explicit subject matter, that's also fall down. They are saying keli. Keli means, he says, sporting with a woman. It was mentioned in today's shloka also. Talking loosely with a woman. Walking to some distance alone with that woman. So that is also fall down. Then fourth he says is prekshanam. You see some activity going on and you fall prey to that. There's a story regarding this also in the Bhagavatam. There is one rishi called Saubhari Rishi. And this Saubhari Rishi is so advanced, to avoid external temptation, he is in Yamuna river doing tapasya. And this is happening at the time of King Mandhata. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakuri mentions, King Mandhata was the ruler of the whole planet Earth, and he was based in Mathura. His capital is Mathura. And this Saubhari Rishi is doing tapasya in water because I don't want any temptation. On land, there is so many things happening. So to avoid all those temptations in human society, let me go below land. Let me go in water. Ajamil, such a pure person. And on his way to get some durva grass, on his way to get some flowers for the deities, for worship. So pure person, pure activities, pure intentions, but came across impurity and then a lot of problems happened. So Saubhari Rishi is one step ahead. I won't move around on land. I'll go deep into Yamuna river. There's another story in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam about two sons of Kubera doing something in Ganga river. Ganga is the most purest river. Yes, 40 million people have assembled on the banks of Ganges during Kumbh Mela to just get them purified. This river, there are these two people with impure thoughts and doing impure activities. So this is Yamuna river and Saubhari Rishi is deep inside. And years and years of tapasya. And one day, what happens is, in front of him, two fish come together. So now fish, one time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, we don't even know which fish is a female fish and a male fish. It's just so non-understandable. He's saying these two fish came together in front of Saubhari Rishi and he got agitated. So the reason for agitation is something different which we'll discuss. But the point is, just by two fish coming together, this Saubhari Rishi got agitated. He came out, went to the king and told him, I would like to marry one of your daughters. He did not go to a muni and say that I want to marry a Brahman Kanya. So his sights are also on the highest person there in the kingdom. So he's a Rishi, but he wants to marry the princess. So the king, you know, he didn't want to incur wrath. He didn't want a curse or something. So he said, well, I have 50 daughters. Any of them can choose any husband they like. That's another way of saying, look at yourself. You're poor, you're skinny, you are not attractive. Who's going to marry you? So let them choose. If they choose, no problem. So Saubhari Rishi also has done a lot of tapasya. He has also got a lot of credits. So what he does is, on the strength of his tapasya, he changes his body. He becomes young. He gets a very handsome appearance. He builds a huge home that is very plush with all the nice beds and furniture and everything. And then he goes to the palace where these 50 girls are staying, the 50 princesses. And you know what happens? The 50 princesses start fighting with each other. This husband is only for me, not for you. And then what happens is, because it started with a fish, and now it went to a princess, and now it has gone to 50. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that this person ended up marrying all the 50 princesses. And he had nice family life with the 50 princesses. And then it is mentioned, after enjoying for a long, long time family life, one day when he was sitting alone, he started thinking, where was I? What was I doing? And now where am I? Where have I come? So this transformation, remembrance of his previous past, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, is because he was doing his tapasya not in an ordinary lake or in an ordinary river, because he was doing it in Yamuna river. So because anything you do in connection with Krishna has a purifying effect, so although he fell down from the position, but that Yamuna water had its devotional effect on him. And after engaging in all the sensual activities, finally that Yamuna water had its effect on him and he remembered, why did I get into all this? And then he left his home and he started doing tapasya. And then it is mentioned at the last moment, when he was being burnt, when he invoked fire, that time he served the Supreme Lord and achieved perfection. So that Yamuna water had its effect, but for some time, definitely we can say he had a detour from his spiritual life. So that's why this prekshanam is also very dangerous. So we covered four. Then fifth one is guhya bhashanam. Guhya bhashanam means in a very solitary place, you have some secret conversation with some woman. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has given 10 instructions for the brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram. One of them is, we can interact with matajis, with ladies, only for service sake. If there is service, we talk. Especially in the temple, there are some services like DT department, or if you are engaged in the bhoga preparation department, the brahmacharis are taking care. And there is a lot of interaction. But that interaction should be only for service sake. In the Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 12th chapter, one of the shlokas it is mentioned. How much to engage, brahmachari, how much is it allowed to engage with a woman? He says, when you go for bhiksha, you go to a householder's home for bhiksha. You don't go to the sannyasi's home for bhiksha. So when you go to a householder's home for bhiksha and you ask, Bhavati bhiksham dehi, oh my mother, please give me bhiksha. So she'll come out and she'll give you bhiksha. That is the only interaction, only for service sake. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada at one point of time was approached by one of his disciples who was of the age of his granddaughter. And this granddaughter age disciple told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I want to discuss with you something private. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in the age of his grandfather, her grandfather said, we cannot discuss with you anything private. In the company of your husband, we are ready to discuss whatever you want. So then she had to call her husband, and in the presence of the husband, they both talked with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Just setting a high standard. Lord Chaitanya, when he is being asked by all the devotees, starting from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, would you like to meet the king Pratap Rudra? Very great king. He said, Vaishnav. But Lord Chaitanya sets a very high standard, and he says, no. To associate with a woman, or to associate with those who are attached to a woman, Vishayinam atha yoshitamcha. He says, is greater than drinking poison willingly. Does not he know that Pratap Rudra Maharaj is a Vaishnava? He knows, but he is setting a higher standard for future sannyasis. Don't get involved with worldly women. Don't get involved with worldly men. Obviously, we are talking of people who are so much into sense gratification. That's the only thought that's going on. I'll ask you one question. What is more beneficial to advance in spiritual life? Association of Vishnu or association of a Vaishnava? Association of Vaishnava, is it not? If you look at the Gita, which Krishna spoke, he spoke on 18 chapters, 700 shlokas. Which is the smallest chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Who's saying? So our Prabhu is saying, 12th chapter of the Gita is the smallest chapter. I'll also ask you one more question. According to our tradition, according to all the Guru Shishya Parampara Acharyas, what is the essence, which yoga is the essence of the Gita? Bhakti Yoga. Do you know the title of the 12th chapter? Bhakti Yoga. It's very interesting. The whole message of the Gita, all our Acharyas are saying, is to teach all of us Bhakti Yoga. And that chapter which teaches Bhakti Yoga is the smallest chapter in the Gita. How large is the Dhyana Yoga chapter? 47. Yoginam Api Sarvesham. How large is the 4th chapter? Jnana Yoga. Good enough. This is 4.34, Tadvidhi Pranipatena. And then all the shlokas come. Yathi Dhamsi, Samiddhoganir and all that. So at least 45, 46 shlokas. So Jnana Yoga long, 46. And Dhyana Yoga is 47 chapters. What about Karma Yoga, 3rd chapter? Good enough. Yes? And Bhakti Yoga, which is the central message of the Gita, he wraps it up in 20 shlokas. That also, if you go deeper into the 12th chapter, 20 shlokas, first 7 shlokas are the difference between impersonalism and personalism. Klesho, Adhik, Taras, Tesham and all those shlokas are in the first 7 shlokas. The last 8 shlokas, shloka number 13 to shloka number 20 are the qualities of a devotee. Adveshta, Sarva, Bhutanam and all that. Actually, the central message of Bhakti Yoga in the smallest chapter of the Gita is only 5 shlokas. Shloka number 8 to shloka number 12. Maya iva mana adhasva, maya buddhi niveshaya and all that. So try to understand this. Here and there is spoken. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Yat Karoshi Yad Ashnasi, Yogina Bhavisa. So here and there is a glorified Bhakti Yoga. But the exclusive chapter dedicated to Bhakti Yoga is the smallest chapter. Why so? You know why? One reason is Krishna has to be very broad-minded. Krishna cannot restrict people from coming. So he knows there are several people at different levels of spiritual evolution that are going to read the Gita. I have to speak something to attract all of them. If I just keep hammering bhakti, bhakti, bhakti right from the first shloka, then what happens? The karma yogis who do not have affection for Krishna, they feel Gita is not for me. And if Gita is not for me, surrender to Krishna is not for me. And if surrender to Krishna is not for me, what is their hope? If Gyan yogis feel bhakti not possible for me, they get sidelined. So Krishna has to be broad-minded. So he encourages the karma yogis, he encourages the Gyan yogis, he encourages the Dhyan yogis. And bhakti winds up, if you know the essence, if you understand how to conquer me, you will do bhakti. Yes? Now these five shlokas that Krishna explicitly speaks about the bhakti yoga in the smallest chapter of the Gita, when Shukdeva Goswami speaks, then how much he speaks? The Bhagavatam is 18,000 shlokas. 18,000 shlokas just glorifying bhakti. You know why? Because when you ask Krishna, what do you feel is good? What should I do? Because, well, it depends on the crowd. Who's sitting in the crowd? If there are many others sitting, they say, well, this path is also good, that path is also good. If you do this, at the end you'll come to me, but you can follow that path. Go around the whole world and come back to me. You ask the devotees, you say, don't do time pass. Idhar udhar samay mat bitao. भगवान की तरफ स्नेह करने के लिए कुछ करो उसके लिए वर्णाश्रम जरूरी तो वर्णाश्रम भी करो बट गोल इज वेरी क्लियर एज आई मेंशन द सिक्स पॉइंट्स अबाउट वर्णाश्रम सो टेक एक्सक्लूसिव शेल्टर ऑफ कृष्णा सो दैट्स व्हाई वैष्णवज आर मोर मर्सीफुल देन कृष्णा विष्णु सो हाउ टू एडवांस मोर व्हाट इज मोर बेनिफिशियल इज नॉट सर्विस टू विष्णु इट इज सर्विस टू वैष्णव महापूर्ण वन ऑफ द आचार्यज इन साउथ इंडिया वन टाइम ही वॉज फैनिंग कांचीपूर्ण वरदराज लॉर्ड विष्णुज डीट इन कांचीपुरम And as he's fanning, he's having a conversation with the Lord. And he's saying, my dear Lord, when will I come back to you in the spiritual world? So it will take some time. So okay, no problem, no hurry. So Mama Janmani, Janmani Ishwara. As he's fanning, he says, I also have a sister who is a great devotee. When will she come back to you in the spiritual world? He says, next lifetime. Okay, let me get this clear. So how come? He says, you are serving me and she is serving you. So it is said, the Vaishnava Acharya say, he dropped the fan right there. And he is saying, what about my fanning? He says, no, I got the secret. Let me go and serve some Vaishnava. Hmm? Recommendation jaldi kaam karta hai. So just like getting the blessings of a Vaishnava is more beneficial and more productive than to get the blessings of Vishnu. I'll ask you another question now. What is more harmful, associating with sense objects or associating with those who are fantasizing about sense objects? You understand this? Because when we associate with sense objects, we understand their limitation. Bapre matras parashastu korte. Ye to pura temporary hai. Ye to change hote rehta hai. The object looked very good only in the menu card. You know, all those dishes, the photographs are put in the menu card. How many times have you wondered when the dish actually comes? Is this the same thing that I ordered? In the menu card, it looks very beautiful. That's the case with this restaurant of the material world. It looks very good in the display window. When it actually comes in front of you, it's not at all attractive, yes? But if you actually associate with sense objects, you'll realize this. What about people who keep talking about it and people keep fantasizing about it? You go to America, you also see the skid row. You also see the slums of America. You just don't see the skyscrapers. But if you keep watching the Hollywood movies, you only keep seeing the skyscrapers and the fast cars. You don't see the crime rate there. Certain parts of New York, after sunset, anybody who has a brown skin or a black skin cannot enter that. First they'll slit your throat and then they'll check your pockets. Terrible crime rate. But this is not revealed in the movies. Why? That's not supposed to be revealed. That's how you attract people. So what is more detestable, what is more avoidable is not just sense objects but also people who are attached to those sense objects. So Guhya Bhashanam. We have come to six. Fifth. Sixth is Sankalpa. Stay away from a Sankalpa or a decision to engage in any activity in that direction. So how to overcome this? Our Narad Muni in 7.15.22 gives a nice four-part sutra. He says, Asankalpat jayet kamam. Saying how to overcome desires of sense enjoyment is saying, just have a strong sankalpa, I will not do it. And Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, one of our acharyas, while commenting on this shloka, gives an example. He says, just like on the day of Ekadashi. How many of you fasted on Ekadashi yesterday? So people around us, they don't fast. Many times our family members don't fast. But we have heard from spiritual master, we have heard from the acharyas, Madhava Tithi. This tithi is very dear to Krishna. Janmashtami, OMG. 12 midnight you fast, and then Srila Prabhupada also appears in the next day. So again there is fasting of half a day. Well, first time when I did it, my family member said, are you going good? In my, your whole life you never fasted, and now you are doing 1.5 days of full fast, no water even. And I said, yes, it's possible. So how is it possible? Out of affection. When you love Prabhupada, you want to fast. When you love your spiritual master, then you want to do it. Is it not? So Vishwanath Chakri Thakur gives this commentary. He says, just like on some special day to get special mercy, you keep away from certain sense objects. He says, similarly, those who will have love for the spiritual master, they can take a sankalpa of staying away from this kind of sense enjoyment. The seventh one is adhya vasayas, means making an endeavor in that direction. We should not do that. And the last one is kriya. Kriya means you should never engage in that activity itself. So anybody who practices these eight restrictions is said to be a pure brahmachari. Even if thoughts come, even if there is a talking, even if there is seeing, just like in the case of Ajamil, it is not supposed to be pure brahmacharya. These are very exalted topics, but as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, this is specifically to teach me. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples called Udayananda Prabhu, he mentions one time he was talking with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada mentioned to him, he said, actually all this is very difficult in Kali Yuga, but he's saying it's possible if you have a thickly relationship, these are Prabhupada's words, if you have a thickly relationship with your spiritual master, it is possible. If you have a superficial relationship with your spiritual master, it won't work. He speaks these two lines. So many times when there is temptations in our life, what helps us overcome those temptations is not our own purity, because there is none. What helps us overcome this kind of situation is not that we are pure or we want to be pure. What will help us is our affection for somebody who is pure. I'll tell you one story in this regard. One time, one of my friends in the Brahmacharya Ashram, he mentioned this story. He's a young boy, he's in college, and one of the girls in his college was attracted to him, and she many times made proposals to him, but he did not have a father. His father had left, and he was raised by his mother, hard-working mother. So he said, I have been sent by my mother to study here, I don't want to get into all of this. So he would always refuse. One time they went on a trip, and somehow he felt sick. So in the morning, when they reached that hotel, they stayed in the hotel, and they are supposed to go to visit some place. So everyone leaves that morning, and he is sick, so he stays back. So that girl, imagine what did she do? She feigned. She pretended that she is also sick. And in that whole big hotel, he is the only one who is in his room, and this girl is the only one in her room. And just like is expected, after 1 hour, this girl, she entered his room. Is all alone. And she's saying, I'm interested in you. And probably out of fear of some situation, you denied me. Right now, there is nobody in this whole big hotel. And there's no problem. There's no resistance from anyone. So why don't we do something? At that time, this brahmachari told me, it could have happened. Yes, those tendencies are there. It's not that we have come from a very pure background. He said, what I remembered at that time is the face of my mother. If something happens right now, and after some time, these things go around. So if somehow, if, the big if, but if it reaches my mother, what will my mother feel? And he says, that loving face of my mother who always cared for me and underwent all difficulties to raise me, he says, that face gave me the strength to say no. And he said, sorry, it's not possible, not interested, and that thing ended at that moment. One of my another friend devotees, he mentioned to me, he had fallen in love with a girl, and that girl was especially notorious for not being of good character, but somehow it was just going ahead. And then at one point of time she said, we have to get married. And everyone in his family is not very happy. One day his father took him alone in one room and just caught his hand and told him, I will be very hurt if you get married to this girl. You do not know much about her, and I also do not want to poison your mind. But if you really want to please me, if you really want to care for me, I'll be very happy if you don't marry this girl. And this friend told me, the only thing that stopped him from marrying that girl is the face of his father, because he knows his father has actually loved him his whole life, cared for him. Saying, agar mere pitaji mera haath pakad ke aise nahi bolte, most probably I would have gone against all intelligence and married that girl. So similarly, if we have somebody elderly, somebody whom we look up to, And that person's loving face is there with us. Affection for that person can prevent us from going in the wrong direction. One of our brahmacharis has preaching programs for cinema stars. So one time there was a program arranged, and in that food that was made after the program, there was onion and garlic. So difficult to speak everything to people at that level. So when he's moving around, he did not eat that. And one of the cinema stars, she walked over to this person and said, "So you're not eating, huh? So it is his program, but he's not eating." So then she's saying, "Oh, you're not eating because no onion, no garlic. You don't like onion and garlic." And the answer that this brahmachari gave is a very nice answer. He said, "It's not that I don't like onion and garlic. It's that the person who gave me all my training, he does not like onion and garlic. And he told me not to eat onion and garlic. I love my spiritual master. I don't have anything against onion and garlic. But I love my spiritual master. And my spiritual master told me, don't eat onion and garlic." So that film actress, her eyes grew. And she said, "Oh, it's not about hatred for onion and garlic. It's about love. It's about love for your spiritual master. That's a higher principle." So these few stories we have to help us understand how, based on affection for somebody who's pure, we can transcend the situations, not based on our own purity. So we have to develop somehow or the other affection for somebody who is pure. We have to develop dedication for somebody who is pure. One of the sannyasis in ISKCON, His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj, in one of his books he mentions, because he would preach in Africa, and Africa has many preachers of one particular religion who want to spread their religion all over the world. So he's saying in one of the monasteries where he had been in Africa, he saw the monks, the priests-to-be, they were given a weekend free. So Monday to Friday, they stay in the monastery. It's printed in his book. And Monday to Friday, they undergo all the rigors of celibate life, a priestly life. But everyone understands, in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. And without much engagement, without much of activity, every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, these monks are given freedom and they go to the city. And not much is needed to be spoken. So he said, unless we have proper engagement, it's very difficult to control the senses. Unless we have a raso varjam raso pyasya param drishtvani vrata. So either we have affection for the spiritual master, or either we have some sweet taste in our own harinam, in our own chanting, which will take a lot of time. Yeah? So dedication to the guru, dedication to the mission is something that will always help us. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked by somebody, "Prabhupada, is it possible to give up lusty desires?" Prabhupada said, "Not possible." That same devotee after some time again asked Prabhupada on some another occasion, "Prabhupada, is it possible to give up lusty desires?" Same devotee, so Prabhupada saw some sincerity. He wants to. Prabhupada said, "Very difficult, not possible." Third time that same devotee asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada this time thought for some time. And then he said, "Govinda Icha." Yes, it's possible, but it requires a lot of determination from our side, a lot of affection for somebody dear to Krishna. And if it is possible, then Krishna can take us out of that entanglement and give us freedom. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, in one of his essays, he's written an essay called "How I Was Saved from Being Saved." Because he grew up in a Protestant background in America, and later he met Srila Prabhupada. He said, I have been to the church and I saw that there's so much emphasis on the grace of the Lord. In some religions, there's a lot of emphasis on grace. But there's not much endeavor emphasized. So all those priests would do in that monastery was pray, pray, pray and pray. But there's no engagement to engage the eyes. There's no engagement to engage the hands and so on, all our senses. And when he came to ISKCON, he was not satisfied in that religion. And when he came to ISKCON, he saw there's so much engagement. Deity worship is such an excellent engagement. Anybody who engages in deity worship has full contact with purity. In one of the purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions, anybody who does deity worship has contact with the Vedic scriptures 24 hours a day. So contact with the deity is contact with all the Vedic scriptures. So just by dressing the deity, your eyes are satisfied, your hands are satisfied, your mind is satisfied in that service. So there are these different things given as part of brahmachari training, as part of varnashram culture, that will help us overcome these impressions that have been there for long, long time. And we can all pray to Srila Prabhupada, we can all pray to our spiritual masters, we can all pray to Shri Radha Gopinath. Just recently, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj installed the deities of Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan is especially that form of the Lord who attracts all the conditioned souls. He's the first Sambandha deity. So we can also pray to Shri Radha Madan Mohan that in our sincerity to serve his mission, please give us the strength, please give us the purity, and please give us that determination to go on and on, practicing as much purity as we can, and practicing as much purity as is necessary to serve in the humble mood of servant in this mission. With these few words, I will stop. If I spoke something that is beyond my realization, please stop me, please correct me. But this is the shloka that is there, and it's also important to discuss something about the Varnashram system, because Prabhupada said, Varnashram system is the next thing that I would like to establish within ISKCON society. And discussion on this Brahmachari principles is always good for everyone. So please forgive me if I spoke something wrong. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jay. Jay Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Hari.